Hey there, this is Brian Zond, and welcome to my sermon podcast. I'm glad that you're interested in the sermons that I preach here at Word of Life Church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And if you ever feel inclined to help us by supporting us financially, you can do that at our website, WOLC.com. Thank you. We're beginning a new series today for the month of October. I'm calling it Songs for the Road. During the four Sundays in October, we're going to look at psalms that are somehow connected to the pilgrim nature of the spiritual journey. The first sermon in this series is The Pilgrim's Way. It comes from Psalm 84. We're going to look at Psalm 84. We've already heard Psalm 84, read during worship, and that psalm has a lot of the great famous lines in there, including, "The sparrow has found herself a home, even in the altars of the Lord." And so Eric sang to us about how God has his eye on the sparrow. Amen. So we've already heard the psalm, but I want to pray part of it. I want to pray the part that's between the two selahs. You ever see that word when you're reading the psalms? You see that word selah. In italics, selah. It's a Hebrew word. Not exactly even sure what it means. Kind of a mysterious word. It seems to indicate a pause. Meditate. Some people think it's musical notation, that it might be time for a musical interlude, a guitar solo, if you will, or maybe it's a harp or lyre solo. And between the two selahs in Psalm 84 is what I want to take for a text, but more importantly, I want to make it my prayer. So pray with me. O Lord, blessed are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. When they walk through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear our prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Amen and amen. All right, let's get started looking at this psalm. This is a song for the road. And let's look at verse 5 to get started. Blessed are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. That's my sermon title, The Pilgrim's Way. Pilgrimage, that is a journey with a spiritual motivation. You know, we are a traveling people. We're always moving from point A to point B. And usually it's very pragmatic in nature. But when it becomes a spiritual motivation that causes us to travel, that's when it becomes a pilgrimage. And pilgrimage has always been a practice among spiritual seekers. The ancient Hebrews in the Torah were commanded to make 3 pilgrimages a year to the holy city of Jerusalem. And again, you know, this is before any kind of transport as we understand it. And so if you were going to go to Jerusalem, you were going to walk. And if you lived in northern Galilee, it might be a week or more's walk. You would go on pilgrimage to present yourself before the Lord, inquire in his temple in the holy city of Jerusalem. And that's the context here for Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is a meditation on the pilgrim journey to Zion. And so this is a psalm that draws upon that familiar experience of pilgrimage among the ancient Hebrews. You know, there's even a genre of psalm dedicated to pilgrimage. Psalms 120 through 134. Those 15 psalms, you've maybe noticed that in those psalms, 120 through 134, it'll say a psalm of ascents. What that means is that this was a psalm that was to be sung as the pilgrims went up or ascended up to Jerusalem. That's the language you would use about going to Jerusalem. It was always going up. We tend to think of going north as up and going south as down, but that's not how they thought about it. You're going up to Jerusalem because it is an elevated city in natural elevation. But more than that, there is the sense that we are coming up higher, we are drawing near to God. And so they had these psalms that they would sing on the road. I don't know if you're like me, but when I get ready to go on a road trip, I've always got to make a playlist. You can ask Perry about this. It's very important to me. I give a lot of thought to it. I mean, it's very serious business to put together a playlist. And so you might think of the Psalms of Ascent as a playlist for pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. Pilgrimage is also an ancient Christian practice. The early Christians and the ancient Christians, they wanted to visit the places connected with the life of Jesus and the lives of the apostles. And so very early on, Christians would make pilgrimage to Bethlehem, to Galilee, to Jerusalem, to visit the place that was made holy because Jesus had lived, suffered, died, and been raised from the dead there. They also would visit the places connected with the lives of the apostles. The Camino de Santiago is a pilgrim path through Spain to the legendary tomb of St. James. Santiago meaning St. James. This is James, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John. And it's a pilgrim path that have been walked by Christians for 1,200 years. That moves me. Our first day, you know, we'd flown to Porto, Portugal, and we'd spent the night. We'd been to the cathedral and got our credentials and all that you have to do to get ready to go. And then we get up in the morning and we leave the little hotel we're staying in. And our first step, we just walk out of the hotel, and the first thing we encounter is this church that happens to be one of the oldest sites of Christian worship in Western Europe. The foundation for this church was laid right around the year 400. I don't know if that moves you like it does me. See, I'm tired of everything being novel and new. I'm trying to attend to the ancient roots of our Christian faith and to begin a pilgrimage journey where our first steps went past a place where Christians have been worshiping for 16 centuries. See, we're getting ready to have our anniversary Sunday here at Word of Life, and we're going to be, how many years old? I've forgotten. 37? Everybody's trying to do the math. 81, 37 years old. 37. Well, yes, we belong to a church, a local congregation called Word of Life that is 37, but we also belong to a church that is 2,000 years old. And I want to lean in and draw from those ancient roots. So we began our pilgrimage by walking past a church whose foundation was laid in the year 400. 13 days later, we arrived there in Santiago. And you come into the cathedral and you go to where, again, according to legend, the bones of St. James are. And you go down these steps and you see this silver box that contains the bones. And so we do this. But what impressed me more than seeing this, you know, silver box with the bones of the saint is seeing the marble steps that lead down and to the crypt and then up. Marble, solid marble steps with deep, worn grooves in them. How many millions of footsore pilgrims does it take to wear deep grooves in marble stairs? That moved me. I find all of this a powerful reminder of the ancient roots of our Christian faith. Now, today, not too many people walk the Camino because of a legend about St. James. You know, I've met hundreds and hundreds of pilgrims now, and not too many of them walk. And I, to be honest, I don't know that I've actually ever met anyone who that was the central primary motive, that somehow they thought some particular blessing would be connected by visiting the bones of St. James. But still, people walk it in a spiritual awareness, because they understand they're walking in a way that has been made holy by millions of prayerful pilgrims. And the Camino is a powerful symbol of the far more important pilgrim journey of the heart. Blessed are the people whose strength in you, whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim's way. So here's my question. Is your heart set on the pilgrim's way? If it is, the scripture says you're blessed. There is a kind of deep, profound, coming from God happiness that can flow into your life. If your heart is set not on being static, not on staying, not on being unmoved and unmovable, but continuing the journey and pressing on in the pilgrim's way. Yes, it's not the outward journey. The outward journey is sometimes good for restoration and healing of the soul and pulling back from our ordinary fast-paced life and slowing down so that you never move any faster than foot speed. There's something very good about that. But that's all just symbolic of the far more, infinitely more important pilgrimage of the heart, where we are trying to move out of our little world that too often can be dominated by fear and greed and envy and anxiety and small thinking and tribalism and politics and all of that, trying to move into the large world, the big world, that opens up to the reality of faith, hope, and greatest of all, love, God's greatness of love. But that's a journey of the heart. So we are pressing on towards Zion, the place where we apprehend God as God truly is, a fountain of infinite love. To do this, we must be willing to go on a pilgrim journey of the heart. Because the true spiritual life is not a static state, but it's an ongoing pilgrim's journey. Somebody say amen. Verse 6. When they walk through the valley of Baca, it means weeping, it means tears. Not if they walk, but when they walk through the valley of weeping. There is no way to avoid it. When they walk through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The rains will clothe it with blessings. The pilgrim journey towards Zion, the place of the full revelation of who God really is not always easy. In fact, it's never easy. To stay put, to stay stuck, to stay home, that's easy. To say, I'm going to press on. I'm going to seek God more and more and more and more and more and more, that's hard. It's demanding. And as we go on this pilgrim journey, we will have stages where we go through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow. How many of you know that's true about life? But the valley of tears is not what the journey is about. It's just part of it. It's just part of it. But it's not the whole of it, but it is part of it. Any Bob Marley fans here? If you're not a Bob Marley fan, you need to become a better person. I mean, how can you not be a Bob Marley fan? My favorite Bob Marley song probably is No Woman, No Cry. No Woman, No Cry. The song means, no woman, don't cry. No woman, no cry. Hey, little sister, shed no tears, because every little thing's going to be all right. I love that song. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs. No woman, no cry. Hey, little sister, shed no tears, because every little thing's going to be all right. It was the 10th day of the pilgrimage, and Perry couldn't go. So, you know, we walked 40 days together across the Camino Francis, 500 miles, and we'd walked whatever it was, 100 and whatever miles. But Perry's knee, just something's gone wrong, and she can't go. So for the first day, you know, for the first time, I'm up there before dawn and out the door I go. I'm walking through the outskirts of what was the name of that city? Pontevedra. Yeah. Anybody speak Spanish? What does Vedra mean? Vedra? You know what that means? I don't know what it means. Bridge of something. Pontevedra. And I'm walking through Pontevedra. I'm all alone early in the morning. And I come across a place in the street on the Camino where somebody had stenciled, "No pilgrim, no cry." I took a picture of it. And I mean, I totally got it. They were riffing off of Bob Marley's "No Woman, No Cry." No pilgrim, no cry. Hey, little pilgrim, shed no tears, because every little thing's going to be all right. I liked that. It helped me. Yes, you will walk through the valley of weeping. But the psalm says that when you walk through the valley of weeping, you make it something else. You change it. It's called the Valley of Baca, Valley of Tears, Valley of Weeping, Valley of Sorrow, Valley of Grief, Valley of Pain. But you're going to make it something else. You're going to change the name of the place. You're going to make it a spring. It says it's going to be covered with blessings because of how you walk it. Now, can you believe that? Okay, well, I mean, it's Romans 8:28 stuff at work. So you're going through grief, you're going through sorrow, you're going through Baca, going through hard time, going through sorrows. But you're making it something else because God causes all things, even hard things, painful things, sorrowful things, tearful things, to work together for good. Because you love God and you're called according to God's purpose. And God is at work in your life. Hey, little pilgrim, shed no tear, because every little thing's going to be all right. Amen. You see, walking through griefs and sorrows creates a capacity for a deep spring of joy. The pain you feel in the moment is the drill bit boring down deep into your soul. Oh, it hurts so much. That drill bit boring down deep into your soul. It hurts. It's painful. But I tell you, eventually what's going to happen is it's going to hit and release a reservoir of joy that you didn't even know you had on the inside of you. People that never suffer have little capacity for any great depth of joy. But people that have suffered but been able to hold on to a faith in God, eventually they can release a spring within them. A kind of joy that they didn't even know they had. Of course, as you walk the Camino, you meet people. Peregrinos, we call them. Spanish for pilgrims, peregrinos. I like that about the Camino, because everybody's just, you know, status doesn't matter. None of that matters. You're just peregrinos. And you make friends. I made a new friend, a pilgrim. Her name is Melody Miles. Melody is she's a believer. She's from Seattle. She's lived, about a quarter of her life in Africa. She's early 30s. She's worked for a number of aid organizations over the years. Right now, she's the Africa director for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in Africa. But she's been through just such a terrible time the past 7 months. Just a series of devastating loss in her life that has brought great sorrow and great pain into her life. She knew she needed to take a break. She couldn't just keep going on. There was so much sorrow and loss and pain. And so she took some time to attend to her soul, and somebody suggested, well, maybe you would want to walk the Camino de Santiago. So she decided to do that, and she only had about 2 weeks or so. She didn't have a long time. So she's going to walk the Portuguese route, because you can do that in about 2 weeks. someone had suggested to her. Maybe this would be good for you. She knew of me, and she knew from my social media that I was walking the Camino de Santiago, and she wanted to meet me. But I don't know her. We have common friends, but I didn't know this at the time. I'd never heard of her. I didn't know her. She wanted to meet me on the Camino, but how's that going to happen? We didn't start the same day. It's 160 miles. There's hundreds and thousands of, you know, pilgrims out there scattered all over. She wants to meet me, but, you know, how's that going to happen? What are the odds? What are the odds? Well, if it's meant to be, the odds on the Camino are 100%. It was the fourth day. Spain was unseasonably hot at this time. Just too hot. Oh, so hot. And it was a 17-mile day. And I was walking alone, and I encountered a peregrino. And I think we said, you know, the Buen Camino to one another, the greeting that you always give, Buen Camino. But, of course, Americans recognize the American accent in our Buen Camino. And so we recognized instantly that we were both Americans, and so we started talking a little bit. And we walked for a half an hour, just talking together. And then I asked her, I said, "What's your name?" And she said, "Melody Miles." I said, "That is like the greatest name for a pilgrim on the Camino I've ever heard in my life. Melody Miles. That's awesome. What a great name." And she said, "Well, what's your name?" I said, "I'm Brian Zahn." She says, "What?" She didn't recognize me. It's kind of like an Emmaus Road thing going on here. Walked with her for a half an hour, and she didn't recognize me because, you know, I had my Camino beard going on, and I had this sun hat pulled way down, and I was all hot and sweaty. Didn't look like a preacher. Looked like a suffering pilgrim. And I was the one she'd wanted to meet. And so then we walked, I don't know, another 4 or 5 miles together. And she told me her story. She told me her story of loss and how hard it's been. And at the end, I mean, she was going a little bit further, and I'd reached the place where I was staying, so we're parting ways now. But as I parted, I gave her a blessing. And I want to read to you what she wrote about it. She blogged about it, and somebody sent me the link and alerted me to this. But here's what she said. "Today, Brian left me saying, 'Melody, may the next 7 months be better than the last. Oh, friends, what a sweet benediction to my ears. I'm walking for hope, and I was filled up with hope today in full measure. If you know my story, you know I thought my mom's death at age 54 would be my rock bottom. But then another series of complicated events hit, only to be followed a few weeks later by the worst surprise of my life. It's been one thing after another after another. But today, I'm full of hope. I say to you, my friends, may tomorrow be better for you as well. Because no matter what, you can choose pure, shameless love over judgment. Amen. Walking through the valley of tears, they make it a spring." One more verse. Psalm 84:7. "They go from strength to strength, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion." Well, every physical pilgrimage has a destination in mind. You know, Jerusalem, you want to go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Camino de Santiago, you want to get to that cathedral. The ancient Hebrews, they want to get to Zion, the mystical name for Jerusalem. But again, we're more interested in the pilgrim journey of the heart. They go from strength to strength, these pilgrims. They go from strength to strength, and the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion. The God of gods will make himself. The God of gods will make himself known. But what about this phrase, the God of gods? God of gods. It's used six times in the Old Testament. God of gods. We're used to King of kings and Lord of lords, but what about God of gods? Are there other gods? Are there other gods? Is the God that we worship, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, is God the God of gods? Of course not. But of course so. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean we all have our ideas about God that aren't quite right. These are little g gods. Little g gods. We got gods that are mostly born out of fears. These are petty gods, vengeful gods, violent gods, retributive gods, angry gods, tribal gods, national gods. And the goal of the pilgrim journey of the heart is to come to Zion, to the place where all the false gods born of fear are replaced with a revelation of the true God. We all have our gods. And I don't necessarily mean idols. I just mean, you know, we start where we start, and we get ideas about God, and we pick them up along the way, and we start, and some of them aren't right. That God, in fact, is not quite like that. It's a small g God. But if we'll stay on the pilgrim journey, we come to Zion where we gain the full revelation of God. And all the little gods begin to fade away. I'm about to wrap up here, but I want to close by telling you that as I walked through Portugal and Spain for 13 days, I perceived three things. One of the things about a pilgrimage like this is, you know, you have hours and hours and hours of every day of just walking. And you do meet peregrinos. I'm a bit of an introvert, actually. I know you don't necessarily believe that, but I am. So I don't typically engage. The whole Melody Miles thing, that's part of what makes it a miracle that I actually talk to somebody. Perry wasn't with me to, you know, Perry will do that, but I just kind of just trek on. But he does give you a lot of time to pray and to think. And I perceived some things as I walked. One day I was walking, I think it might have been a week ago Sunday, but I'm not quite sure. I think it was a week ago Sunday. And I was walking, and I had this thought, you know, where are all the miracles? Where are the miracles? Where are all the miracles? And I walk, you know, a mile or two, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 minutes. And it starts seeping into me, it's all a miracle. We're swimming in miracles. I mean, look at it around. I mean, I'm the miracle of being, that I'm alive, that I'm breathing, that I'm walking, that I see the sun, that I see the beauty, that it's all around. I'm swimming in miracles. It's all a miracle. And I started thinking about that story of Elisha and his servant, and they're surrounded by an enemy army, and the servant is freaked out, and he says, oh, man of God, what are we going to do? And he says, don't worry about it. There are more with us than against us. He says, I don't get that, because I see one, two of us, and I see a whole army of them. And Elisha says, oh, God, open his eyes. And his eyes are open, and he sees that the mountains and the hills are on fire with the angels and chariots of God. That's the reality. They were swimming in miracles. And if you will acknowledge that, it seems to then open a portal for what the more obtuse would recognize as a miracle to pop through now and then. But recognize that it's all a miracle. That in God we live and move and have our being, and it's all a miracle. The second thought I had was, this sounds like a cliche, But I don't traffic in cliches. And I had this thought, God is all you need. God is all you need. You know, when you go on a pilgrimage like this, what do you take with you? Well, to borrow from a U2 album title, All That You Can't Leave Behind. What do you take with you? All that you can't leave behind. Because you're going to carry it on your back. And so I had 19 pounds of stuff I guess I couldn't leave behind. But that's getting pared down pretty basic. Really, in one sense, the goal of pilgrimage is to get rid of, get rid of, get rid of, get rid of, until you realize all I need is God. And then you find out that God is... See, early on, we go through life and we feel like we've got to acquire, acquire, accumulate, accumulate. And we say to our soul, I have many goods laid up for many years. What am I going to do? I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. I'll get one of those storage lockers to store all my stuff. And God says, well, that's foolish. That's foolish. You don't need all that. So a pilgrimage kind of strips that away, and you begin to realize that you don't need that much. That all you need is God. And if you have God, then you begin to discover, as the psalm says, our God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and He gives glory. No good thing does God withhold to those that just keep walking uprightly with Him. You stay on the pilgrim journey, and you say, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. Amen. I think I'm going to go back and say something about this Melody Miles story. So Melody wanted to meet me. She tried to make it happen. We have mutual friends, and she sent me a message on Instagram. But here's the thing, I never look at my mail. If you've ever sent me a message on Instagram, I haven't seen it. I don't know. That's for like pictures. I don't know. I just at some point says I'm not going to get messages there too, so I've never gone to them. But then I found out she told me. I sent you a message. I said, yeah, well, I didn't look at it because I don't. But see, that's an example. She was trying to make it happen, but it couldn't. She couldn't make it happen. There's a saying on the Camino. The Camino will provide, but that's just also a way of saying that. You know, when we stay in the flow with God's purposes, it'll happen. If it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. God is all you need. We're so anxious because we think God is not enough. We got to have God and, God and, God and. And we come up with this big, heavy pack. On our first Camino, I remember meeting the guy from China that had that must have been a 40-pound pack he had. And we saw him in the albergue in Paris. And man, that's a lot. He says, yeah, I need a lot of stuff. And we'd see him day after day just laboring under that. A few weeks later, we came across him, and he was just trotting down the Camino, had this tiny little pack. Found out he didn't need it all. Seriously, he had a laptop computer. I mean, you don't need a laptop computer. Not on the Camino. The third thing I perceived is that all of God is found in Jesus. It's all a miracle. God is all we need. All of God is found in Jesus. So most of the time, I had some prayer times in churches, but most of the time my prayer time was while walking. And if you've been to my prayer school, you know the prayer liturgy I teach. And there's the gospel portion. But I don't have a Bible with me. That was something I left behind, by the way. Bibles are big, heavy books. You know, I could read the Bible on my phone, but I didn't want to do that. I don't really want to go down the Camino like this. And so what I did was I just drew upon one particular passage that I have committed to memory. It's John 1. It's selected, actually, portions from John 1, leaving out the references to John the Baptist. And so every morning, I'm walking along, I'm going, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And apart from Him, nothing was made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that enlightens every person was coming into the world, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and of His fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is near the Father's heart, He has made Him known. And so for 13 days, I'm just going through that. In the beginning was the Logos, the logic of God. God's self-reflection upon God's self. The Word with God was God. In the beginning with God, all things were made by Him. Apart from Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was light. Life was the light of men. Light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overcome. This is prior to the incarnation. This isn't talking about Jesus of Nazareth yet. This is just talking about the light of truth that is the Logos of God that shines in the world. And there's a lot of pagan ideas and a lot of wrong ideas, a lot of goofed up ideas. But still, the light shines and the darkness did not eliminate it. And it continues to shine. But the day came when that Logos became flesh and began to live among us. And we beheld His beauty. Beauty is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We heard it in the reading from Hebrews today, that Jesus is the exact imprint of the very nature of God. That in the past, God spoke in many times, many ways, in varied ways, through many means and mediums. This is the light that would not be extinguished, through prophets and all of that sort of thing. But it's still imperfect. The perfect Word became flesh that we might know that God is like Jesus. God has always been like Jesus because God doesn't change. Of course, there's never been a time when God wasn't like Jesus, but we haven't always known this. Now we do. The only begotten Son who is near the Father's heart, He has made Him known. So I invite you, join us on this pilgrim journey. You say, I don't want to walk to Santiago. Here's Perry on crutches. I don't want to do that. Well, I don't mean that one. I mean the pilgrim journey of the heart. To say that we're going to press on. We're going to go from strength to strength. And the God who's not one of the little gods, the God of gods, will reveal Himself in Zion. I invite you to come on this journey with us. We're not perfect here. We don't have everything right, but we are headed in the right direction. I can say that confidently. We're not right about everything. You say, well, what are you wrong about? Well, I don't know. That's the tricky part. That's the tricky part. If I knew, I'd change it. But I know we're headed in the right direction. And as long as we, in sincerity and truth of heart, continue to press on, we will come before God in Zion, the full revelation of who God really is, and all of the wrong, false ideas, those little gods, will fade away and be eclipsed by the true glory of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I invite you to come on that journey with us and let your first step on the Camino today be to come down these aisles and to come to this ancient sacrament where we say to you, the body of Christ is broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take the bread, dip it in the cup, and enter into the sacred mystery of beginning to experience union with God in Christ. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Let us confess our faith together, and then we will come to the table of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And this is the table.